Today, we'd like to see the title of Draw Near to God in James chapter 4, verses 1 to 17. To a non-word share through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Question 1, verse 2. You lost and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. What does it mean, and what can you learn from here? Question 2 in verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What does it mean, and how can we apply it to our lives? Last question, verse 11, do not speak evil of one another. Brethren, he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. What does it mean? And how can we apply it to our lives? In the last time, James chapter 3, 18, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Peacemakers sow peace by the byproduct of righteousness, being blessed and called as sons of God. In the light of Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that were in your member? Wars and fights, such as hatred, contentions, or dissensions in the members of the body of Christ or the church for fleshly pleasure, not God's pleasure, do come from the flesh against the spirit. Galatians 5:7-23, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, here, and contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Verse 2. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and worry, yet you do not have because you do not ask. James listed some of the 10 commandments, murder the 6th and covet the 10th, which are summarized to love God mostly and to love your neighbor as yourself. Because of your flesh, such as lust, murder, covet, fight, and war, you don't have your request. Also, you did not ask the Lord about it, that you do not have it. According to God's will, without the flesh or the condemned things, you may receive whatever you ask in prayer. The old cross-reference right here, Exodus 21-17, that's the 10 commandments. Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus summarized Agape love, Matthew 26, 42. So, you know, how, you know, you pray, you know, whatever you ask, then according to God's will. Then is 1 John 3, 21, 32. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have a confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So, first of all, you know, if we don't have a command, you know, condemn ourselves, then whatever you ask, you know, God will answer. Matthew 21:22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So the belief without wavering faith. Then verse 3, you ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure. You ask but do not receive, because you ask an unrighteous thing, for fleshly pleasure, or carnal pleasure, which is enmity against God. Romans chapter 8, 7, 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. First of all, adulterers and adulteress, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The seventh commandment, not to commit adultery, the friendship with the world is deemed as adultery, because we are the bride of the Lord, the groom, whom we must love mostly, but we love the worldly things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, not pride of God. The worldly thing is not of God, the Father, but is of the world, of the prince of the power of the air, devils or Satan. Close reference right here, 1 John 2, 16, Ephesians 2, 1, 2, 3. And He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once worked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Then, verse 5, do you think that Scripture said in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy? In the rhetorical question, the Scripture is true, not vain. Our God is a jealous God, that the indwelling God, the Spirit, jealously wants to be loved mostly, more than any others, or not equal to any others, or to be glorified by us. Here, note, godly jealous, not fleshly jealous. Exodus 34:14. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Verse 6, but He gives more grace, therefore He said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace is a freely given, unmerited gift by the God. or from above, not only tangible things such as daily bread, but also intangible things such as the gift of the Spirit for the profit or the body of Christ. We accept more grace, which is thanksgiving to God in prayer, by which we can be sanctified together with His Word. Proud heart is to be equal with God or to despise others. God resists or hates the proud people who love their own flesh, equal with or more than God, but gives grace to the humble people. For example, various denominational systematic theologies are good to be used humbly or submissively for us to understand God or the Scripture, the substance. But those are improper to be used as a man-made frame proudly of God, of the Scripture, the substance. Those as means are good, but those as the substance are improper, because the substance is of God. All cross-reference right here. We should read the last one, Proverbs 6, 16 up to 19. These six things the Lord hates, you seven are an abomination to Him, a proud look, the first. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Total seven. Verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Obey God rather than obey sin in the flesh. So when we rebuke the devil affirmatively in Jesus' name, the devil will run away, because the devil was already defeated by Jesus' death with blood shed on cross and resurrection. The devil will be cast or destroyed into the lake of fire forever, at the great white throne judgment. The old cross reference right here. Verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you, cleanse your hand, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Tune up to the Lord, and God the Spirit works in you both to will and to direct your path and to work. Don't be polluted by the set flesh or worldly things, but be pure. To the Lord, whom you love mostly, not with divided loyalty between God and the other master. Proverbs 35:27, Philippians 2:13, Matthew 6:24. We are remit to here 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will loyal to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. Verse 9, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom, darkness. You know. When you commit sins, confess that sins to the Lord with a broken heart, from fleshly laughter or fleshly joy to lament, mourn, weep, or gloom, and the faithful and merciful Lord will forgive us. Then we are free from heavy mind or gloom, being spiritually joyful. Course reference right here. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, then he will lift you up. God loves the humble people. Humble yourself before God, and he will exalt you in his due time. The 1 Peter 5 and 6. Verse 11, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the Lord and judges the Lord. But if you judge the Lord, you are not a doer of the Lord, but a judge. To speak evil of a brother or judge a brother is against the scripture. It is to violate the second greatest commandment to love another as yourself. Sometimes within the scripture, it appears conflict, but it is not actually conflict, because all scripture is inspired by God for us to be perfect, just as the image of Jesus Christ. Generally, to judge another is discouraged, except self-judgment and spiritual sin. We should do God's law, even government law, which is not against the scripture. So all cross reference right here, Matthew 5 up to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, correction, for correction right here, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? The law in the scripture, such as the said 10 commandments, is the word of God, which is, who is the savior and destroyer and judge. How come you judge another? No way. Verse 13, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. We made a plan, often sadly, without counsel of God. Verse 14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We don't know the future. Our lives are cut off shortly and fly away compared to eternity. Psalm 19:9-10, Moses said, for all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is on living sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. You plan to live and do this or that would be first for his kingdom, his righteousness, or his richness, conditioned upon God's will or God's permission. Because God's will or permission will stand, otherwise it will be useless. Proverbs 19:21 said, there are many plans in man's heart, nevertheless the Lord's counsel that will stand. Lord's counsel that will stand. Verse 16, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. To boast of you, to be arrogant in you, or to be proud of you is evil or against God. It results in destruction or fall. Note, it is not to boast of God or God's works rather than to boast of you. Verse 17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. Here is the non-fidence or omission not to do it in God's word to the good. Your violation of God's word is a sin upon whatever misfidence or non-fidence or commission or omission is. Where God allows you the given free will, given talents, and an open door. Revelation 27. So the Lord opened, nobody shall shut doors. So that one. Also, given talent. God is five talents. So, velvet free will. So then, we covered all three questions. So just said page 6. God's continuing work through His church, Acts chapter 29. So we believe it, a Calvary Church, and I'm here, the Gospel Church, not you know any human church. Welcome to CGN International Conferences. Everyone is welcome to join there. So right here, elders, ushers, or the ministers, or whoever is interest may join there. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us for whatever work God called us to do. Please pray for one another about the necessity in these last days, perilous times. So keep on praying for them. So let's just sing all together the bulletin Maranatha songs, the last song.